Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Red Men TV. I'm very excited to say I've got James Pearce from The Athletic joining me today to wrap up Liverpool's transfer window. James, thank you very much for joining me. I know you've got a busy day on, so it's a pleasure to have you.
No worries.
Good
to speak to you, Chris.
So, let's get straight into it. What did you make of Liverpool's transfer business this window?
Yeah, I thought it was a very, very decent window for the club. I think probably for a long time, like a lot of supporters, who probably wondered whether key areas would be addressed. And I think we were probably all waiting for that kind of real show of ambition. And, you know, although the early sign-in of Tsimikas in the window certainly ticked the box, I think everyone would have acknowledged that Liverpool needed cover at left-back. It was never going to be one of those deals that really set the pulses racing. But, yeah, I think in the space of that 48 hours in the middle of September, to get the Thiago deal done and then bring in Jota, two really exciting signings that will enhance the squad and Liverpool's chances of winning trophies this season. So, you know, of course, you had the painful, you know, setback of what happened at Villa Park, and you know, people all, you know, quite rightly say, well, should Liverpool have signed a centre-half? Personally, I think probably yes. I think they are probably a centre-half short. And then, you know, you obviously got the discussion around the reserve goalkeeper that has been brought into focus because of events at Villa Park. But overall, I'd say it was a very successful window for Liverpool.
What did you... are you surprised that Liverpool kind of broke the mould for the Thiago signing, James?
Probably yes and no in terms of... Yes, in terms of, because it was just so out of keeping with the way that Liverpool have done their business to get to this point. You know, it's, you know, I think I remember checking back and writing it in one of my pieces that I think the only player over the age of 26 that Klopp had paid money for was Ragnar Klavan, and clearly that was, you know, a kind of a stopgap signing to fill a gap in the squad. So, but I think the longer it went on, the more you thought, well, hang on a minute. Thiago is clearly absolutely desperate to come to Liverpool. He really wants to work with Jurgen Klopp, and he was worth making an exception for. I think that was the big thing that ultimately, you know, all of the hierarchy at Liverpool were in agreement that with, yes, we don't usually spend this kind of money or pay this kind of wages and give a four-year contract to someone who's 29. But, you know, very rarely do you get an opportunity like this to sign someone who is, you know, probably in the top three or four in his position in world football. So, yeah, it was a deal that ultimately I was delighted that they got over the line. And I think it just gives us, you know, another kind of dimension to this Liverpool team.
Yeah, I noticed in one of your articles, actually on The Athletic, you used a quote from Pep Linders, which I thought was really interesting. And he says he will make sure the team evolves and make the next step. It is important for the team to stay unpredictable. Now, I'm not saying that Aston Villa is Liverpool being unpredictable here, James, but what do you actually think how do you think the Thiago signing will make us unpredictable?
Yeah, I think what Pep Linders was referring to was, you know, I think when people think of Liverpool and the damage they did so many teams en route to winning the title, certainly attacking-wise, you think of the front three and you think of the quality deliveries and ammunition provided from Andy Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold from wide areas. And I think if you were being ultra-critical, you'd say, you know, did Liverpool really hurt teams that often through through the centre of the pitch with those defence splitting passes. You know, if you look at the goals and assists from that central trio that Klopp tends to operate with in his favoured 4-3-3. So I think that was what he meant, was that suddenly I think when you've got someone like Thiago with that, you know, I think we saw in the space of 45 minutes at Stamford Bridge, you know, just what an unbelievable passer of the ball he is, and you know, always looking to make things happen and pick holes in defences. You know, of course he's had the setback of testing positive for COVID, and he's going to need a bit of time, I'm sure, to fully adjust to the style. But yeah, I think over the course of this season, I think Pep Linders is right. I think it will give Liverpool, a real elite, another avenue in which they can hurt teams.
And let's move on to Diogo Jota. Obviously, a player who's come in now. He's had a good start to his Liverpool career. Scored last week against Arsenal, obviously. What is it you think that Liverpool saw in Diogo Jota that made them go out and spend a huge amount of money? You know, more expensive than any of the other front three players.
Yeah, right. I think, you know, in the way that Thiago was clearly a break from the policy, I think you'd say Jota was well and truly in keeping with the way that Liverpool have tended to do business in terms of, you know, he's performed at the top level. You know, he knows the Premier League inside out. But I think Liverpool also feel that there is huge room there for development. And I think, you know, it does remind me in a way to the Sadio Mane deal, in terms of, I remember, you know, doing stuff that day, writing stuff on the day that Liverpool signed Sadio Mane, and the number of people replying saying, you know, that's a crazy amount of money for someone like him. You know, he's not consistent enough. You know, what, you know, there weren't too many other big clubs sniffing around Sadio Mane. And I think they see similar qualities in Jota, in terms of, you know, clearly Pep Linders pushed pretty hard for him to be the one that they ultimately went after and got signed, because he knew him well from his early days in Portuguese football. Klopp admired him a lot in the games against Wolves last season. I think his work ethic and his kind of tactical intelligence as well. And also, I think Klopp loves versatile players, and the fact that he can play across the front line. So you're right. I think it is a lot of money, but I think the other thing to factor in was the structure of the deal, where Wolves were prepared to only take about £4.5 million in 12 months, which for Liverpool, with the current cash flow issues with coronavirus, was absolutely crucial. And that was certainly one of the reasons why they ultimately, you know, went away from Ismail Assar to Jota, because they just felt that Watford's demands for Assar, which were, you know, £40 million guaranteed, rising to £50 million, were just too excessive.
And let's talk about Liverpool then in general, because I don't know whether a lot of people have spoken about this, James, to be honest, but Liverpool have said all summer long, correct me if I'm wrong here, mate, that, you know, it's a sell to buy, and that's what it was going to be. Do you think Liverpool were overstating it, or do you think Liverpool have made a little bit of a mistake towards the back end of the window in not actually being able to get rid of the players that they probably already thought they'd be able to get rid of for money and recoup some of that money that they've spent on the likes of Thiago and Jota? Now, don't get me wrong, I understand the structure of the deal works in Liverpool's favour for both Thiago and Jota, but it looks to me like Liverpool really wanted to maybe get rid of a Shaqiri and a Grealish for the money that was right, and that they were kind of maybe reliant on that coming in.
I think it's certainly fair to say Liverpool expected a couple more players to go before the deadline than actually did, but I think, you know, my understanding is that they weren't reliant on selling players. Those two deals, the structure of the deals for Thiago and for Jota, meant that they were under no pressure to sell. And I think we saw that from the way that they didn't buckle and suddenly reduce their demands in the 48 hours before the window shut, because, you know, they stuck to their guns. You know, they said, you know, Shaqiri valued at £20 million, not available for loan. Grealish, I think, you know, would have taken £17-18 million off Werder Bremen. If Werder Bremen had been, you know, had accepted those terms, they wouldn't. And the same with Harry Wilson and Burnley. You know, they turned down, I think, £12 million, potentially rising to £15 million for Wilson. So, you know, if Liverpool were that desperate for the money, they would have caved in and offloaded those players, you know, or even taken kind of loan fees and just said goodbye to them for a season. But you know, the word all the way along was that Liverpool have these stringent valuations, and if they weren't going to be met, then in a season like this, where we've seen already, you know, Liverpool have lost three players to COVID in the last week, Klopp is kind of breaking with tradition a little bit, and with wanting to operate with a bigger squad than he usually does, because he knows there are so many obstacles to clear, you know, especially with COVID and the fact that the schedule is going to be so intense.
And what about Bruce? Obviously goes out for a huge sum of money to Sheffield United for a lad who hasn't played a lot of minutes for us. Do you think Liverpool wanted to get rid of Brewster, or do you think that was, had it been a different season in a different world, Liverpool maybe would have held on for a bit longer? Do you just think it was a case of he maybe doesn't fit the system and he can go on and flourish and have a good career somewhere else?
Yeah, I think there was a whole load of factors. I think certainly the financial climate, I think, played a part. I think that was, you know, it was a huge sum of money, you know, in my book, for someone who's got a lot of potential but has never played a minute of Premier League football yet. You know, and I really hope Rian Brewster goes on to absolutely flourish in the top flight. But I think that money was very, very tempting. I think probably the biggest factor was Rian Brewster's desire to move on himself. I think, you know, clearly he left Chelsea to come to Liverpool because he was desperate to have a pathway. He then very nearly left Liverpool before he signed his first professional contract to go to the Bundesliga because, again, you know, he wanted to play. And I think he's looked at it and thought, well, hang on a minute, with Firmino, with Minamino, with Origi still around, with, you know, Jota coming in, where exactly do I fit? And I think, you know, I think it was telling as well what Klopp said in pre-season about, he said, you know, no one ever questions Rian Brewster's finishing quality. It's probably those other sides of his game that need to evolve for him to really fit what we look for in a centre forward. And you know, and that's no slight on him. He's a young player who still is still learning his trade. And I think Klopp would have happily kept him around and helped iron out those rough edges. But he also understood that, you know, having lost, what was it, 14, 15 months of his career to an injury in his kind of teenage years, and then had a real taste of senior football out at Swansea, that he was just absolutely desperate to play and to make a name for himself and to put down some roots. And so I think all parties in the end just thought, do you know what, this is probably the best for all concerned. The fact that Rian Brewster gets his regular spot in the Premier League, but Liverpool, you know, get a lot of money for him, and they also have the added security of knowing that you know, if he does light the place up over the next 3 years, they've got that buyback clause that they can trigger if they want to bring him back to Anfield.
Do you reckon that'll happen?
I think it's difficult to say because, you know, Liverpool haven't confirmed what those numbers are. I mean, I think probably common sense tells you it's around that £35 to £40 million mark, because it's, you know, it's got to be a significant increase on what Sheffield United paid just to kind of make it kind of worth their while buying him in the first place. But it's obviously not going to be a crazy amount of money, because otherwise Liverpool, you know, the buyback option wouldn't be of much value to them. So I think, you know, the other important thing to factor in is not only do Liverpool going to have to want to bring him back at that fee, but Brewster will actually have to want to come back himself, because you know, it may well be that he, you know, puts down some roots at Sheffield United, becomes their first choice number nine, banging them in. And you know, and still doesn't see that happening if he was to come back to Liverpool. So, but it's going to be really interesting to watch his progress. I certainly think, you know, Liverpool have put these buyback clauses into deals in the past. I think you think of probably Jordan Ibe and Brad Smith. You know, I don't think we probably ever thought that they were ever going to be triggered. I think this one with Rian Brewster is probably a bit more realistic.
James, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I'm going to let you go now because I know you've got a busy day, and then I'm sure you're going to want to breathe during the international break, because if you've had a few weeks like we've had, it's been a very difficult one. But it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you again. Thank you so much.
No worries.
Listen, thank you so much for watching. Don't forget to drop a like on the video, subscribe to Redmen TV, and check out James over on The Athletic, some of the best football writing in the world. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.